All right, praise the Lord. And with that said, I'm going to give it over now to Sister Clark. Sister Clark, I believe she is also on the line now.
I am here, Brother Vic.
All right, I'll give it over to you now, Sister Clark.
All right, good morning, Truth Church and everybody. And good morning to my dear, dear, dearest friend, Sister Debbie White. I'm not going to take a long time to introduce her, because I want to hear from her. Good morning, Sister White. Are you there?
Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. We talk to each other daily and sometimes many times a day. Sister White is the dearest friend that anybody could ever have, and I'm so thankful to God for her. She's a blessing in my life. I have two biological sisters. They may be listening today, and I have two sisters by marriage that are just like my sisters, so I considered myself to have four sisters. But Sister White is like our fifth sister, and all of my sisters feel the same way about her as I do. She's become a part of not only my life, but my family's life. My children adore her. My grandchildren adore her. She's just a part of our life, and I'm so thankful to God for her. Sister White, I love you so much, and I'm excited to hear from you this morning. I'm going to turn it right to you, and you just take your liberty, and whatever's on your heart, just tell us.
I feel such a great privilege to be able to speak today to one of the greatest churches in America, and that's Truth Church. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love all of you people so very much, and I love it when I get to come and be a part of your whatever's going on at Truth Church. I was blessed when God put Sister Clark and her beautiful family in my life. She is my very best BFF forever. I can't imagine life without her. And we always say to each other, we hope we're the first one to go because we don't want to live without you. Well, I hope that I'm the first one to go because I can't live without Sister Kathy Clark. I love her dearly. Today, I want to talk just a few minutes and give you what I call my story. Luke 12:7 says, even the very hairs of our hair are numbered. If God loves you so much that he would take count of every hair on your head, we have to know that he loves us. I realize that each one of you have your own story, but today this is my story. Because of situations in my life, I have always struggled with rejection. I feel like I have conquered a lot of things in life, but that is one thing that ever so often sticks its ugly head up, and I find myself battling once again with rejection. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let me start at the beginning. The wind was cold and blowing, and three children, Dan, age 6, Debbie, age 5, and Keith, age 3, stood on the side of the sidewalk and watched their mother drive off with their baby brother, Billy, driving out of our lives forever. A few years ago, I went back to Lubbock on a visit with my brother, Dan, to see our family. My dad, stepmom, and two brothers and their families. Dan and I took a day and went around town, going down memory lane. Dan asked me, have you ever been back to the house where our mom drove off and left us? And I had never been back there. So in just a few minutes, he rounded the corner, and there it was. Wow, I cannot tell you about all of the emotions and memories that came back just like that day. We got out and looked around. While we were standing on the sidewalk looking down the street, a car slowed and drove by. It was a lady in a car with a car seat in the back seat. Both of us started crying, remembering all the pain from that day. Now remember this. This is my story, and I'm going somewhere. My dad was a young man and desired to be with someone besides three little kids. Every night, we would all be lined up on the couch, looking out the window, waiting for our daddy to come home. But so many times, he would go by one of his sister's houses or our grandparents' house after work just to have another adult to talk to. We would get so excited when he would drive up. We would all go out and jump all over him. We were latchkey kids from age 6 years and up. My dad tried babysitters, but it just did not work. One of the babysitters would not fix us anything to eat, so my brother, Dan, locked her in the closet for most of the day until my dad got home. Needless to say, she was furious. When I was in the first grade, I asked my teacher if she would marry my dad because we needed a mom. Moving forward, when I was 13, my dad remarried. We were so excited because we thought that we were getting a mom and we would not have to cook and clean anymore. And she thought that she was getting these kids that could do all of those things. This was a lose-lose situation for all of us. At the time, it felt like hell on earth. All we had was our dad, and she wanted all of his attention. So in some respects, we lost our dad, and we thought we had the wicked stepmother. At the time, it really was like that. Once she beat me with a vacuum cleaner because I did not clean the mini blinds just like she wanted them. Now let me tell you, I was and still am a better housekeeper than she ever was. So just so you know, I love her now, and we are very close. I hated when Mother's Day rolled around. I wanted my mother more than anything. When I was 11, before my dad married, I was at the grocery store with my aunt and my grandmother. I looked up, and coming towards me was my mother. My grandmother asked me, "Who is that, Debbie?" And I said, "My mother." Now, I hadn't seen my mother since I was 5 years old, and I was 11 at this time. Us three kids were so excited because we all went out to a restaurant to eat, and we thought that they were going to get back together. But really, all she came back was for my dad to sign adoption papers so her husband could adopt our little brother, Billy. After we ate, again, we watched her and my little brother drive away from the restaurant to never see them for years. That time, I was so devastated that I laid on the couch for 3 days and cried and was very sick. I will never forget my brother Dan kneeling down by the couch and praying for me. He touched God for me that day. He started speaking in tongues. The Lord touched me, and I was able to get up and go on with our life. When I was 17, my mom came back to Lubbock for 2 days. She asked me to go to Alaska with her. I was very torn and a mess. My stepmother was so mean and so cruel. I'll never forget this as long as I live, but I went to a very large high school, and the principal of the school took me to my pastor's house clear across Lubbock and waited in the car so I could talk to them about my mom wanting to take me away. My pastor was Brother Curtis Young. They were very understanding but advised me against it. I left there with my mind made up that I was not going to go with her. But when she came by the school, I got in her car and went all the way to Alaska with her, my stepdad, Billy, Roger, and Donna. I disobeyed my pastor. I had no clothes or anything with me, so we made it to Albuquerque, New Mexico, which was only about 4 hours from Lubbock. And my mom took me shopping. Now, all of my life, I had only wore dresses. She only bought me mini skirts and pants. A few more miles, we stopped in Las Vegas, and she tricked me into tasting a margarita. I spit it out, and I cried and cried. Now, she had promised me the moon that I could still go to church and everything, just like I always do. This is how the devil works. He tricks you into things, but very quickly, things get out of control. Now, I was very confused at this time of my life. Those 2 months was very hard on me, and I had to learn my lesson of disobeying my pastor the hard way. I thank God that I had a grandmother and an aunt that every day I was gone prayed for me. When I left with my stepdad, he promised me that if I did not like living with them, that he would buy me a plane ticket back home. I want you to know that I loved God with my whole heart and wanted to live for him. I just wasn't sure about what kind of a Christian my stepmom was. Another thing happened to me once we boarded the ferry that would take us to Alaska from Seattle. My mom kept introducing me to guys. Now, I was very innocent. I didn't know anything about relationships with guys or anything. Well, one of these guys was a worker on the boat, and he told me he wanted to take me around to show me the boat. While showing me around, we ended up in his room. I found myself in a very compromising situation. I think I scared him to death. I started praying and speaking in tongues. Thank God I got out of that. All of this because I did not obey my pastor. Upon arriving in Fairbanks, Alaska, things started going south fast. My mom wanted me to date the men on the airbase, but I knew better after the boat experience to trust my mom. But one of the first things that happened to me was my hair. From the time that I was a little girl, after my mom left us, my dad and my grandmother kept my hair whacked off really short because I couldn't take care of it. And I wanted a ponytail so bad. When I was 11, they allowed me to grow my hair so I could have a ponytail. And so I was raised, my grandmother and my dad, they always trimmed the dead ends off of our hair. I didn't know that was a sin at the time. So when my mom told me that she wanted me to go to the beauty salon and just get a permanent and get the dead ends trimmed off, I didn't think anything about it. I barely had sat in that chair for maybe 2 minutes, and that lady had whacked off one side of my hair. And I started screaming, "No, no, that's my hair, that's my glory." But it was too late. It was done. Then, a few days later, my little sister, she was 3 years old, she fell down the stairs, and I went running to her to get her. I was in my bedroom, and I went running to see what happened, and I was picking her up, and my mom started yelling and screaming, and she accused me of pushing my little sister down the stairs. Now, there's not a mean bone in my body like that, and so I was so hurt. Then they promised that I could go to church, and there was an apostolic church there, but they took me to the Episcopalian church. Well, I'd rather not go to church if I had to go to the Episcopalian church. Instead, you don't feel God, and so I didn't go to church anymore. Well, I was there for 2 months. But I would go in my room, and I was praying in my room asking God to get me out of this situation. I wanted to go back home to Lubbock, Texas. And my little brother, I was in there praying one day, and my brother Billy, he came in, and he said, "I want what you have. I want that Holy Ghost. I want to know all about it." And we would pray in my room, and years later, I found out that my brother Billy actually did get to experience the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized in Jesus' name. And I thank God for that. My stepdad kept his word and flew me home, and I was so ashamed of my hair. I was home 1 month, and my stepmother beat me up so bad. The doctor wanted me to press charges, but I could not do that to my dad. So my last day at home, I walked out in the yard to tell my dad bye. He would not even tell me bye, just to leave. I cried all the way down the alley and all the way to my aunt's work. A few weeks later, I moved to California. This is where I learned later that God was ordering my steps. My brother was married to Verlaine Webb, and I was introduced to one of the most wonderful families that I'd ever been able to meet. And I love and cherish Brother and Sister Webb and their memories to this day. I love them so much. And I love my sister-in-law, Verlaine. She is very precious to me, and I love her so much. After living with them for the summer, we decided that I would go to Bible school in Stockton and Bridal College, you know. And I have very wonderful memories of things that happened in Stockton while I was there. And I have precious friends that I still love to this day. And, of course, I met my husband. When I was 35, this is years later, moving on. I was sitting on my brother's bed in his room, and my sister-in-law was in there, and the phone rang, and she said, "Get it." So I answered it, and it was my mom calling. Now, I hadn't seen my mom or talked to her from the time that I was 19 until 35. And my mom, she said, "What are you doing?" And I recognized her voice immediately. Anyway, we visited for a while on the phone, and I decided I wanted to go see her in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I went to see my mom, and I was there for 5 days. And while I was there, it was bittersweet. I realized that God had protected me my whole entire life from a very evil woman. And my brothers told me, I watched them. I watched this happen when I was in Alaska, but she slapped my brothers in the face, and then she would tell them, "Now tell your mother you love her." And God protected me over and over and over. And I thank God that he ordered my steps. If you will be patient, trust God, he will give you the desires of your heart. When I was a teenager in Lubbock, we had an evangelist come through, and his name was Dan Rigdon. And he was young and handsome and so cute, and he drove this little cute sports car. And so we, all the girls in the church, we were so excited because we thought, ooh, here's a guy that maybe one of us would get to marry. So we all slipped outside and looked in the, at his, was looking at his car, and we looked in the back seat, and there was curlers everywhere. And we go, oh, no, he has a wife. But anyway, I became an evangelist's wife, a pastor's wife, and even a missionary's wife. I love working for God. When God comes, I want to be in the middle of working for him. Today, I am blessed and am so thankful for God's protection in my life through all the years. Psalms 37 and 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and I shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I love you, Truth Church, and I hope somehow today that I have been a blessing to someone. I will give it back to
Sister White. Oh, Sister White, that was so good. I am so glad that you shared your testimony. That just made me so excited when I heard you start down that road, because everybody has a testimony. I don't have a testimony like that. I was blessed with a good home, a mother and a father that loved me. But Sister White has taken the things that life dealt her, and she has become one of the most positive, giving. You will never find a more giving person in this world than Sister White. She has taken her circumstances of life, and she hasn't allowed it to cause her to blame the way she is on her upbringing or her life, or a look back at everything and, well, this is the way I'm, this is why I'm so whatever, I'm so bitter, I'm so angry, I'm so whatever. She, if anybody, would have a right, if we wanted to call it that, to feel that way. But she has chosen to take life, and she is amazing. She's an amazing woman. She's got so much energy. She's like a Sister Helen. She's like the energizer bunny. Are you still there, Sister White?
I am.
Oh, good. she is something else. She is just taking life and said, "Here you go, life." I'm getting texts from people that are so touched from your testimony, Sister White. They're in tears. A lot of people don't. They look at somebody like you and they think she's probably had this most wonderful life, you know. And we don't ever know what people have faced, but this is what you can do with your life. Take it and just turn it around. And we really have no excuse not to live life and give life. And I am so happy. I'm getting another text that says, "Sister Clark, please let Sister White's testimony is amazing. She has touched our hearts." And there's just a lot of texts I'm getting. So, Sister White, you have touched a lot of hearts and today. And even my husband says, "She leaves me in tears. I love you, Debbie." That's from Pastor Clark. And we thank you so much, Sister White. What a blessing your testimony has been to us today. And thank you. She didn't Here's more texts, just pouring in. Keep them coming. She at first told me, I can't do that. But I knew she could, and because I've heard her speak many times, and she's an excellent speaker. But today you blessed us, Sister White, and we thank you so much. And there's no telling what all is going to happen from this in our church to all of our people. Thank you, Sister White. You'll be hearing from me. I'll be sending you a check for your offering. I don't know if she's still there. Brother Vic, are you there?
I am, Sister Clark.
All right. I will turn it back to you, Brother Vic.
Thank you, Sister Clark, and thank you, Sister White. What a powerful devotion and what a powerful testimony. Sister Clark already said it. And church, I just want to say this. I wish this is one of those devotions where I wish we could hear some of the reactions of our people, because I believe we'd be hearing a lot of crying and we'd be hearing a lot of laughter. This is an amazing testimony we heard, and we want to remind everyone, you can listen to this testimony again by going to our archived messages to our website at truthchurch.net, and you can listen to this over and over again, because there's so many powerful things in this testimony. Again, thank you, Sister White. Church, why don't we just thank God for what we heard this morning, because there's a lot that can be learned from this. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this great testimony that we heard from Sister White this morning, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord, to allow our minds and spirits to receive everything that we heard this morning from Sister White. And we ask you to bless her and her husband and her family. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. And everyone said amen. And with that said, church, we want to remind everyone there is going to be a memorial service for Sister Maria Neubensuk at her home today at 2 p.m. And I'll read the address. It is 1737 Martello Street in Pomona. I believe it is also posted on our website. And again, it is a memorial service for Sister Maria Neubensuk at her home today at 2 p.m. So anyone who would like to go, you are more than welcome. And we want to remind everyone about our testimony devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. It's going to be an exciting time, so we look forward to see everyone there. And with that said, God bless you all. We will see you back on this line tonight.